Good evening and welcome to tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live from Cornerstone Church in Wheeler, Texas, along the Kingdom Keys network of stations. Beginning in 1986, this program has been an outreach to the community with compelling Christian talk, Bible study, guests, and callers. And in the last days, we are here to remind you that God is on the move in your life and in your local community.
Anytime the gospel stirs a searching soul, and someone says, send me, here I go. I know, I know, I know, I know. God is on the move today.
Your host for the program is Natalie Thomas. Join us now for tonight's broadcast of Sunday Night Live.
Good evening. Thank you so much for tuning in for another Sunday Night Live. I'm so excited to be back here again because I always get excited about talking about God's Word and what God is doing. God is on the move, definitely, and I'm so excited because I have my pastors here with me tonight. I have Aaron Mercer and Sonia Mercer. How are you guys doing?
Good, good. Hello, everybody.
Hello out there. We're glad to be here. Thanks for the opportunity and having us on.
Yes, and we're so glad that you're here. You know, you guys are my favorite people.
No, we feel the same way.
Yes. Well, I'm glad you feel the same way. You know, I'm really excited. You know, my theme song is God is on the Move. You know, that's what we've been talking about for this year. And I believe that God is really on the move, moving in a way that He's working through His people to prepare for something that's to come.
Yeah.
And so that's really what I wanted to talk to you about because I was, you know, your message on last Sunday just really was a word for me and just really rang true. And I think it's part, I believe it's part of what is to come.
It is.
For what God is leading us to. And so I just wanted to see if you'd be willing to talk about that and share a little bit about resting in God.
Absolutely. We have been in a series called Rhythms and how the world and us and our bodies, we're all in a rhythm. And we're trying to grab the rhythm of God. And one of the things that was a rhythm of God, a rhythm of Jesus, is finding rest in God. And that is trusting God no matter what we see. You know, every day there's another bad report, there's another problem, there's another tragedy, and we can't find rest. Well, one of the reasons we can't find rest is because it's only found in a person. His name is Jesus. But even with that being said, we have to be intentional about resting even our physical bodies. One of the things that I've heard it said somewhere, and I've talked about it in that message, is if the devil can't make you sin, he'll make you busy.
Yeah, that's right.
And so many times we get so busy that God is an afterthought, the things of God is an afterthought, and pretty soon we're overwhelmed with life. And who is the one that goes on the back burner first? It's God, it's church, it's quiet times. And all of a sudden, we're out of rhythm and we're out of rest, because we haven't had that time and that refreshing that God brings us, you know, through corporate gathering at church or through our own quiet time in the scriptures and getting into His presence. And we miss out on the rest and we miss out on life because we don't build in, I said it on Sunday, those Sabbath times to where we let ourselves rest. If God needed to rest after His 6 days of work, we need rest. And we need to make time for that so that we can connect with God, we can connect with each other, and we can fulfill our purpose. Because that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants you to be busy on a million other things so you never fulfill your purpose.
You know, that is so good. And, you know, and actually when you were teaching that on Sunday, I'm just going to have confession time, okay?
Yeah.
Right here with my pastors, we're going to have confession time. I have been so busy this last week, previous to that message. And it seemed like every day something was calling my attention. Mm-hmm. And it was really, and then I actually had something fun planned on that Saturday morning. But I couldn't enjoy because I kept thinking about everything that I had to do. I mean, I enjoyed it, but you know, that whole back mind. Mm-hmm. And so I said, that's it. I'm not going to church on Sunday.
Yeah.
I'm going to stay home. and I'm going to rest. Yeah. And I thought, it's okay. I can listen to church on Facebook Live. Yeah. And I thought, that's going to be my one day to not have to leave. And really, I was going to do that. Yeah. I mean, I had made up my mind. I thought, the Mercers will still love me anyway.
Yeah,
we would. And so... sure enough, you know, God's not going to allow that. And so he, come on, Natalie, you know, you need to go and worship. Do not forsake assembling with me and come. And so, of course, I came to church. And I tell you, immediately when we started praising the Lord, the very first praise and worship song just really just blessed me right then, you know. And I was like, God, I know you want me here. I know you want me to serve you. And this is part of what you want.
Mm-hmm.
And so, let me give you a little bit of backstory. So, I've been trying to get back in the rhythms.
Yeah.
You know, you've been talking about rhythms at church. I've been trying to get back about rhythms.
Yeah.
And so, this one particular day, I decided, okay, that's it. I've got to set a schedule. 5 o'clock, you get up. I need to read my Bible. Mm-hmm. And I've been starting to declare the word again, you know, to get my mind right and set right.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I accomplished more in that day. Oh. I wasn't tired, and God said, seek me first, and all of these things will be added unto you.
That. That's so good.
And so then I came to church on Sunday because I wasn't going to seek God.
Yeah.
Yeah, I had already decided I was going to stay home, but no. And while I was there praising, worship, just worshiping the Lord, he says, I want you to receive from me today.
Yeah.
And I had no idea what you're going to be teaching on.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there, and as you began to teach on rest, it's like the Lord was saying, Natalie, I want you to rest. There's a time to work, but then there's a time to rest.
That's so true.
And so it just so blessed me about your message, and I thought, oh man, I have to have him on the radio because... I think so many times that Christians get caught up, and myself included, I just admitted to it, that we get caught up in the things that we have to do instead, and we think, oh, we'll get to this in a minute.
Yeah.
But if we'll just seek God first, then all these things will be added unto you. And it makes me think of that scripture that says, my yoke is easy.
My burden is light.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But my burden is light.
You know, when you were telling that story, it made me think, isn't that what the enemy does? He comes in because we're already tired, because we are busy. We are always doing stuff. And then just kind of plants that, nope, today needs to be your day of rest. Just stay home. You can watch it. But it was in the presence. It's when you get there and you stand up and you started worshiping that God spoke and said, this message, you just receive, get ready to receive. And I think how often do we as Christians, we just do that, we bypass that, and we go ahead and stay home. Instead of, you know, when God is kind of, no, just go. And we just give into the flesh.
Yes.
But God has something on the other side if we'll just obey. Obedience is better than sacrifice, Scripture says.
That's right. And oftentimes I think that we think if we give that extra time for God or for those things of God or for church or things that cause us to, you know, be around Christians, we think that we're taking away from other things that we have to do when, like I had said, in reality, God has a way of redeeming that time.
Mm-hmm.
And all those things work out.
And it's probably more productive, too, because it is working out because of the productivity. You're just moving faster and better. It's not taking you as long because you're just able to get the job done quicker and it's efficient.
That's
so true. And it's what it is. It's a grace. It's a pouring out of grace that whenever, it's like when I give from my finances, God makes my finances go further. When I give of my time and I offer the first part of the week on Sunday to the Lord, it makes my whole week go better. Because I've offered that as an offering to Him. And I just really feel like in the seasons that we're living in, and the times that we're living in, and I don't know who's listening tonight, but if you'll listen to just about anybody from about any denomination, everybody is saying, guys, this is the time. And so we have to decide what's the important thing, what matters most, put that first, like both of you guys just said, and then let God pour grace on us for the rest of it. And we've got to move to that. As leaders in the church, as church folks, as Christ followers, we've got to move to Jesus is first, Jesus is the center, and everything else that I do flows out of my rest and my relationship with Him. And because that's where rest is found. It's not in the day of the week. Like Sonny and I, we're working the most on Sunday. So that's not our Sabbath day. But Monday, most of the time, is the day we sort of kind of chill out. We relax. We talk about things that are coming up. That's easier for me than Sonia. Sonia's a doer. She likes to be up all the time, doing stuff all the time. It's not so hard for me. I'll kick back and take a break. But we've got to make Jesus the center and move everything else in our life out of that flow of Him instead of, I got to do this, I got to do that, I got to get here. And just step into that flow of grace and let Him take us where He wants us to be.
It's so funny that you brought up the money thing, because I was actually thinking the same thing. Because when you begin to tithe,
that's right.
You know, before you tithe, it's you're like, oh gosh, I don't know, I don't have enough money.
That's right.
But somehow when you tithe, it's like there's still money.
It goes further. It just does.
So the same thing goes with our time.
Yes.
But it also makes me think of, we had a women's conference about a month ago at the 8 Mile South, and one of the things that she said was, we can do all things through Christ, but we don't have to do everything.
That's right.
We're not called to do it.
That's right.
We need to. So often we can put our be stretched thin because we jump in there and do all these things committing. But the truth is, we're not called to do everything, but we can do it through Him. The things that we were created to do, the things that we are the answer to, the solution to. Because God created you and I. Make no mistake. The truth is God created each one of us because we are the answer to a problem, to an issue, to a struggle. And the truth is, God wants to use us. But if we are being stretched thin, the truth is then we can't hear from God because we're too busy. Our mind is too much running here and there to be able to hone in what God created us to do. And God will speak directly to us. Okay, Natalie, do this. And it's in doing that that you see, oh, I get it. You know, but if we're running, how can we really hear fully from Him? Because our minds are too busy with what I have to do.
Yeah, and you know, I wanted to go back and tell you the end of my Sunday story. So, you know, I was going to skip church. I was going to rest. And so guess what I was going to do that night? Well, I've been in the process of renovating my house a little bit. And so I had some popcorn ceilings that need to be scraped. And so I had already set up for my daughter to come out and help me. And so this is what I was going to do, justified in my mind, stay home for church, get some rest. But then when daughter gets there that night, we're going to work and we're going to, you know.
Yes.
And so immediately after church, I knew, no, I'm not scraping ceilings. I'm going to, because part of rest is, and you said this in your message on Sunday, is spending time with God, but also investing into your family.
Right.
Invest into your family or invest into those people that are around you. And so she didn't know until that night. And I said, well, I have a surprise. And so she's thinking, you know, this gift of some kind. And I'm like, no, we're not going to do anything but just visit. And she was so pumped. And we spent several hours of just,
quality time.
And so that's part of that
part
rest.
It's part of it. Because here's the thing. Are we investing in eternal things? Okay, your relationship with God is eternal. Every investment you make in your relationship with God is going to last forever. Guess what else is eternal? Your family, your children. Those things are eternal. Guess what? Your job is not eternal. Okay, now I know we have to work. I know we have to go to the job and we have to put in the time.
That's
and we
right.
have to get a paycheck. I'm not taking any away from that. As a matter of fact, if you'll do that job as worship to God, that job will be a lot more fun. Whatever it is you do, if you work on cars as unto Jesus, and it'll be worship, and it'll mean something, and it'll step off into eternity. But you know what? More than anything else, I'm going to take my kids to heaven with me.
That's right.
And that's where my time's going to come. I'm taking my wife to heaven with me. I'm not taking this job that I do. Even though I'm a pastor, my job's not going with me to heaven. I'm not going to be a pastor in heaven.
That's right.
I'm going to be a Christ follower. And so I'm going to take eternal things. I'm going to spend most of my time investing in eternal things. And you know what else is eternal? You're eternal. So if you're busting your tail and you're working and you're driving yourself into the ground, you're not taking care of yourself right.
That's right.
And so invest in those eternal things that matter. Because you know what? If you got sick and had to quit your job, you'd be replaced before the weekend. You don't matter that much there.
That's right.
And it's important. You got to take care of your family. Don't get me wrong. But invest in the eternal because you'll never regret it. You'll never regret it. Can you imagine being hanging out with your kids, with your family, the people you love for all of eternity, and enjoying life? I'm really learning about heaven because Creed always has questions about heaven. Dad, I really think I'm going to get bored in heaven if we're going to be there forever and never leave. That seems boring to me. Anyway, you know, so I'm trying to get him to understand. It is not going to be boring, dude. You're going to love it. And so can you
best time of your life.
You're never going to look back and say, you know, dear God, I wish I'd have spent more time down there at that office doing more work. Than you're never going to think that. But if you miss heaven, or if you have children that miss heaven, or family members, you're going to be like, why didn't I spend more time investing in them than I did in this job? And please don't misunderstand me. Jobs are important. We all have to have one. We all have to take care of our family. But put it in its proper place.
That's right. That's right. You know, and actually, that's all. Okay, and that's right. Relationships are good.
That's
and those
right.
are things that we need to invest in. And also going back to, we can do all things through Christ, but we don't have to do everything
right.
as far as relationships go.
Sure.
And so this morning, I'm scrolling through Facebook, and I find this post this morning,
yeah.
and it's by Pastor Alberta Helton. And I wanted to read it to you because it really spoke spoke to me, because it's, again, it's about rest. And it says, some of you are wearing yourselves out. Not everyone is your assignment, and some of your past assignments are over.
Oh, that's good.
That's good.
And I think, how many times do we try to stay in the past assignment instead of moving forward to the new assignment?
Yeah.
And God's saying, come on, you know. And that really spoke to me, is that
so
it's time to move on to the new assignment. And so she says, know this. Jesus stepped over a lot of sick people that day to get to the one man at the pool of Bethsaida.
Yeah.
Why didn't he heal them all? Mm-hmm. Everyone was not his assignment that day. Know your assignment and keep your mental, spiritual, emotional, and physical health. A lot of you are fighting battles that do not belong to you.
Oh, man.
So, P.S., stop beating yourself up for not winning battles that were never your battle to begin with.
Well, that is a power. I'm going to go ahead. As soon as we're done, I'm going to find that. I'm sharing that. Because that is powerful.
That is powerful.
That is so powerful. You know, and that's one of the things Sonia and I have been talking about. And then you and I were just talking about it a little bit earlier before we started the program. Is who, you know, you're thinking about discipleship and all these things. Why don't we look around and see who wants God? So many times, Sonia and I, we're chasing people that don't want to be caught. We're trying to help people and pour into people, and they don't want to be poured into. They're not ready to receive. They're not ready to walk with God, whatever it may be. Why don't we stop a minute and look around and find out who is the one who is chasing after God, and let's pour into them. Let's help them take the next step. And we're for everybody, but if we spend all of our time chasing people who don't want to be caught, we're wasting our time, and we're frustrated because, just like Pastor Alberta just said, we're fighting battles that are not ours to fight. That is such a powerful thing. And let's just rest and look around and see who wants to sit with us and be poured into.
Yes.
And let's put our time into them. You know,
yeah.
I think that's such a great quote. I'm glad you read that.
Yeah, and so let me ask you this question then. So let's talk about battles, whether it's who we need to minister to, or what things that God wants us to do. Do you think that when we are stepping out and doing things, whether it's, okay, I'm trying to figure out how to ask this question. Basically, do you think that there's a grace that comes with
Absolutely.
When we're doing the battles that God has called us to do versus doing the things that are not our battle?
I think that's 100% right. Yeah, that when you're in that flow of grace, you're not banging your head against the wall. You're flowing in that flow of grace, and it's not a difficult, hard, fight every minute. It's a grace flow. It doesn't mean it's always easy. It doesn't mean you don't ever have to persevere, but in here, on the inside of you, you have that grace that says, you know what, I can take the next step. I can fight through this. And you have that strength that says, I can do this. This is what God told me to, even when it's hard, even when it's difficult. So it's not about hard or easy. It's about what's God given me the grace to do. What is it in me that is this grace to me, or is this sucking the life out of me? And chances are, if it's sucking the life out of you, it's probably not your assignment. You know, but even if it's hard, if you can feel, hey, I know this is hard, but look, I think God's doing something here, then you can do it because you have that grace.
Makes me think, when we first moved to Wheeler, before we moved, Aaron was like, no, I'm not called to pastor. I'm called to be a youth minister. And so it'd be Thanksgiving the year before we moved. And God would begin to start speaking to him. So then we moved. He never had a desire to pastor. it just wasn't in his heart. But then we move over here, and the grace that came upon him to step right into that. And I've said, he is a true pastor. I've never seen anybody that, I mean, I'm sure there's many good pastors out there, but I've just never seen anybody that just, what do I need to do to help, to get you to the next level, and so on and so forth. But I think about those early days, and you were with us, and if it had to be clean, we cleaned it. If it had to be mowed, we mowed it.
It had to be painted, we painted it.
And then that's before you go into children's ministry and youth ministry and changing light bulbs. And I think, and then we're running a full-time school. And so we're doing that. And so we're putting in 70, 80 hours each, you know,
yes,
to just get through the week. But I don't ever remember thinking, oh, God, how can we do this? That is an example of his grace. We were called to do that. And when you step into that, there really is, for a season, just a grace that comes upon you as God raises up the right people to hold your hands up and to do whatever it is. But I told Aaron in the last year or two, I said, oh, I never want to go back to that.
I know.
Because I don't have a grace on me, you know?
That, yeah, that's over.
That's over.
That's the past assignment.
Yes. Yes.
Yes. I think that's so good. And that's so true. That's exactly right.
And so let me ask you this. Do you think that people will sometimes try to choose an assignment because they see somebody else do that assignment and they do that assignment well?
Yes.
Oh, they can absolutely do that. Like I would love to be a communicator like a Pastor Loper, that my pastor in Amarillo is a teacher. And you listen to all these wonderful teachers who dive into the Greek and all. I mean, there's incredible teachers. And Sonia's kind of more like that. She likes to do, and I'm kind of more just an exhorter, and I'm not into all that. And I would try to be a teacher and dig all that out. And it just was miserable to me. And I would try to do that. I would try to be, and it was just boring to me and everybody else. And then so I had to figure out, this is not me. It's not who. But I saw such wonderful teachers on TV and some of the pastors that I'd follow and do the things that they would do. And I would try to be them, and it just didn't work because that's not me. You know, and so you have to find out who you are, what God's called you to do, and flow into that grace, you know.
And that's really what he did the first 2 to 3 years here. He would try to be just like Pastor Loper. And I'll never forget his first time to show up to church with the way he dresses now, with just a button-up shirt and slacks. And I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
And, you know, we had gone to church, and we always wore suit and ties. And girls most of the time wore dresses that was below the knee and to the clavicle, mm-hmm, and so on and so forth. And so he told me, he said, Sonia, these cowboys in this church, their boots cost more than my suit does, you know. And so I think it was at that point the shift, and he started coming into who he was. He's not Pastor Loper. We need Pastor Loper in the world, but we also need the Aaron Mercers. We need each position. And so there's no reason to ever try to be like somebody else, because if you're trying to be like somebody else, then we're missing the gift and the call that's upon your life to give to the world.
Yeah, that is so good. So with that being said, how would you tell someone to figure out what they're good at, or what their gifts and callings are? How would you tell someone to work on that or figure it out?
Well, one of the things is just look at your life and see what you're good at. Let me just use your husband for an example, okay?
Okay.
So, like, I can give an offering message, and I got lots of great offering messages, and it'll be good, and we'll have a good offering, and everything will be great. But if James is home, and I get James to give the offering, he'll come up with some kind of crazy something out of the blue that no one would have ever thought of in a million years. We'll have triple the offering that I would have ever received, because there's a gift on him to be a giver and to help others give. And we'll have, you know, I don't really keep up with it, but I know because David Seitz, who runs our books and is our secretary, will come to me and he'll show me somebody that gave a check who's not a giver. Who's never given, but yet when James shares whatever he shares, that person feels compelled to give. James has that. That's a motivational, spiritual gift that he has, not only to be a generous giver, but to help others. And people will talk about it for years on end and remember what he said in that 10-minute offering message that they'll never, ever forget. And they'll be a giver from now on. And that's a gift that he has. He just has a way of pulling stuff out of the air that people will never forget, but it also motivates them to give. So what is it that you're good at? What is it that when you start talking about it, when you start putting your hands to it, it starts coming alive? That's what your gift is. And it could be anything. It could be drawing, painting, working on vehicles, whatever you do. We have missionaries that we support in Honduras. And he hardly ever, his name is Jim Chomlin. He hardly ever preaches. He hardly ever leads a Bible study, but he goes to all the churches in that area where they live, and he works on the church vans. He works on their motorcycles. He keeps everybody running, their vehicles. And so he's led hundreds and hundreds of people to the Lord because he's an amazing mechanic, and he's amazing with his hands. And so what is it that comes alive when you touch it? If you can find that, then that's probably where your grace is, where your gift is. So look at what your good is. It's your ability. God's grace, God's ability on your ability. What are you good at? Find out what that is, and that's probably where your gift is.
And it's really something that comes natural. You don't have to work at it. You don't have to study and watch people. It's just natural. It just comes out of you because that's who you are.
That's who you are.
What God created you to do, you know.
And probably will bring you some joy in doing
it.
It's something you enjoy doing, and it's not going to be an actual hard thing work to do.
That's right. And just going back to James, I don't know how many times he'll tell me, like, I'll say, hey, if you're here, do the offering. And he'll tell me, I think I'm going to talk about this. But then, lo and behold, Sunday, he said, well, I was going to say this, but when I was standing about out there, I just thought I'd better say this. And then just right out of the fly.
Yeah.
You know, it's how he runs things and how things go with him. And so that's just a gift that he has. And like, whenever I was trying to be like Pastor Loper can preach, he'll have 40 scriptures to support his message, whatever. And so I was trying to put 40 scriptures and 25 scriptures in every message. And I'm like, this is killing me. And so now I might have four. I might have five. You know, but I'm just whatever's bringing life is what I go toward. And I'm not trying to be somebody else. I'm not trying to be like them. I'm just doing what I'm graced to do. And that's where God can take it and do something with it that he would have never been able to do if you didn't surrender to what he's given you the ability to do. And so I think that that's such a huge part. What are you good at? What comes alive when you touch it? And I think that's a good way to figure it out.
That's good.
And so also, and you kind of brought this up with the missionary, is it always going to be something that's centered around the church?
No, absolutely not. It could be anything. It could be you're amazing. We talked to a pastor in Pennsylvania, okay, and he was having some issue getting people to come to church, and he was at a conference where we were, and they had this cookie bar. Every break at the conference, they had all of these different kind of cookies in little bags. Every flavor you imagine, key lime pie, salted caramel, every kind of cookie you could think of. And every time I'd come out on a break, I'd grab a couple different flavors, and I am just going on and on. And I had been talking to this pastor, and he's saying, well, what can we do to get people? And I'm like, I don't know. I've never been to your church. I don't know what you could do. And so I'm eating these cookies, and he said, and I said, these are the best cookies I've ever eaten in my life. Where'd y'all get these cookies? And he says, oh, a bunch of ladies in my church, they bake cookies like that, and they're just really good cookie makers. And I looked at him, and I said, I'll tell you what I'd do. If I was in your church, I'd make sure everybody walked through the door. There was a visitor, and I would go door to door with a card about my church, and I'd give them a sack of these cookies and say, come to church. I would be known as a cookie church of Pennsylvania.
That's right.
If I had your church. And so he started doing that and taking these cookies, and lo and behold, people started coming. And because why? He's good at making cookies. His church had a gift for making cookies.
That is
and
so,
so
good.
It brought life to it. So what are you good at? Can you bake stuff? Can you take pies to somebody? Are you a great cook? Are you a great mechanic? Are you a great house painter? What is it that you do? You start doing that as worship to God. Mm-hmm. Not out of obligation or work, but in a restful worship toward the Lord. You watch how your whole world will come alive because you're graceful.
And so, and if you think about it, this all goes back to seek God first, and all these things will be added into you. As we begin to seek Him on a daily basis and have that relationship with Him, He's going to show those things to us.
He's going
to
show up.
He's going to send those people in to come by wherever it is where you're at,
right,
so they can be touched by whatever it is that you're good at.
You know, I'll tell you, to take it even a step further, in my opinion, when my mom was in the hospital there at the end of her life, there was a nurse, and there was no doubt that woman was called to do exactly what she was created to do. And she had been a school teacher, and she went back to school to become a nurse, and she said, I don't know. I was teaching one day, and I thought, this isn't what I'm supposed to be doing. She goes back to school, and that woman, in the midst of my mom battling cancer, she was such a just, she ministered to us right where we were. And she'd come in, and the empathy that woman had for us was beyond anything. She's a nurse. You can say whatever you want. But as far as her profession, as far as her career, this is what it is on paper. But that woman was a minister when we look at it, because that's exactly what she was doing. She was ministering to us.
Right.
And so it don't matter what your career is. God can use you exactly where you're at. Just allow him to work through you, you know.
That's right. With the knowledge of what you have. That's her specialty was in nursing, and he used that to bless whoever
Absolutely.
She came into contact with. And on the flip side, this is sometimes I think about the flip side. What if you got a nurse that really wasn't called to be a nurse?
That's right.
Then you'd be talking about, oh my goodness, mm-hmm. that was such, you know.
Absolutely.
But now you have that reference that
right.
God came and loved on you. He sent that nurse mm-hmm. to come and care for your mom.
Yeah.
And to minister to y'all in
That's
that
right.
time where you were at.
So we can't ever, in my opinion, just kind of look down upon what we do, because God will use us wherever we're at, long as we're following him, long as we are obeying him.
That's right. I was thinking about a particular story. I was a secretary answering the phones, you know, pretty young in the Lord. There was a particular girl that would come as an after-school program and just work a little bit in that office. And that's just who I am. And every day it was like, hey, how are you today? How was school? And just began to just have conversation with her and love on her. And the way I would talk to my own kids, you know. And through her internship, at the end, she was to write a letter of what it meant for them to do that internship mm-hmm. and to thank the person that let them
wow.
come in. And that's what she mentioned, that this person had lost their mother and they didn't have someone
wow.
that would say, how was school, and just talk to them. And so that, just me just doing that,
wow.
was able to minister to her. And I didn't even know what I was doing. I was just, hey, how was school? You know, was it good?
Yeah.
And we don't realize sometimes just who we are.
That's right.
Just by saying those little things, how it can minister to them.
That's exactly.
No, 100%. 100%. And it's about, you know what brings you life. So take a moment and just say, what brings me life? And somewhere in there is what God's calling you to do. It's what he's anointed you to do. Is whatever brings you life is from, because all of life comes from God. So if you've got something draining you and just killing you, that's not from God. And whatever it is over here that's giving you life and giving you hope and giving you strength, somewhere in there is what God's calling you to do.
And so with that being said, we're talking about seeking God, and we're talking about doing only what God has wanted us to do, not nothing more, nothing less.
That's right.
And as we move into what we believe is the last days. And so I know that you're about to be starting a series. Well, you actually started it on Wednesday.
Right.
Here at Cornerstone Church, we eat at 5:30, and then we have a 6 o'clock lesson. And you're doing a 4-week conference
yeah.
on the last days.
That's
is that correct?
That's what it's called. The
and
last
so
days.
I believe that this is part of what we've been talking about, being and doing what God wants us to do. And so, will you share just a little bit about that?
Yeah, and that's what we're really, truly. If we're going to be successful in the last days, I mean, honestly and truly. People have been saying it for as long as I can have been alive. Jesus is coming back, get ready. But it's never been where we are right now. I mean, we are right now in a season of time. The world is shaping up in such a way that there is no doubt in my mind. We are in the last of the last days. Okay? And here's something you need to know. It's all neat to know about who the Antichrist is and where he's going to be and how he's going to show up and what's going to happen and when's the rapture going to take place. And we're going to talk about all that during the conference. But most of Revelations, you have no control over. It's going to happen. It's on God's timetable. It's all going to come together. But we're going to focus on the things in this conference that you can have some control over. Am I going to make time for God? Am I going to make time for rest? Am I going to offer myself to the Lord in this last day's harvest? When Jesus said back when he was alive, the harvest is truly plentiful and ripe and ready for harvest. Pray that the Lord would send laborers into the harvest. Are you going to be a laborer? Are you going to be a part of that last day's army that's going to reap the final harvest of souls that God's called us to reach? And what do we need to do to be a part? Now, there may be people out there, I'm just going to play it by ear and let's see what happens. No. It's time. If you're a Christian, if you're a Bible-believing Christian, if you're a Christ follower, this is our finest hour. And we can't miss it because we're too busy. We can't miss it because our bodies are wore out. We can't miss it because we're putting a priority on things that we don't need to put a priority on. And that's what we're going to talk about around all of these things concerning the last days. And we're going to live stream them on Facebook and our website, all those things. But now's the time. Christ followers, listen to what we're saying. Now is the time to get more serious about your faith than you've ever been in your life. This is the time.
That's right.
You know, it makes me, once again, think, as you're saying all of that, I thought, if we choose to not, I'm going to choose to continue to stay busy, and I'm not going to be a part of that, whose lives will be affected because I didn't do my part? Because I didn't choose to step out for God to use me. Because the truth is, we've heard it all of our life. It's coming. Jesus is coming back. And maybe it'll be another 100 years. But I don't know that it will. I don't think we will last that long. And so the truth is we want to take as many people to heaven with us. And it goes all back to eternity. And what is eternal? People are eternal. And what could their life look like? And could they possibly get saved and then get their family saved and get other people saved just because you were obedient?
That's right.
You know, and as you were talking, this is what comes to mind is it's one person at a time.
That's right.
It's. I think oftentimes we measure success by the amount at one time or whatever, but that's not the case.
Mm-hmm.
It's that one person at a time.
Sure.
Wherever you're at, you know, like the things you were talking about, walking in the things that you're good at, mm-hmm. coming and meeting up with those people, mm-hmm. one person at a time.
Absolutely. And really, we're this whole rhythm series, all the things we're talking about in the Wednesday night's conference, is Jesus' way of doing things. How did Jesus mainly minister? He did have the time for him to minister to thousands, but most of the encounters that you read about in the Bible, one at a time. The woman at the well, the fellow you mentioned at the pool of Bethesda earlier, one at a time. Who's in front of you that God's calling you to minister to? And what are the things that you need to cut out of your life or cut back on in your life so that you can give more margin and more space for Jesus to use you? Those are the questions we're going to try to answer.
But Pastor, you don't know me. I've done all of these terrible things. How can God use me?
That's right. You know, we've all done those things. And what we try to do is we rank sin. Okay? We think, because I did this, because I did that, because I had this problem, because I left my family, because I had an abortion, because I was a drug addict, God can't use me. But you know what? All through the church, we have gossips, we have hypocrites, we have people that eat too much like me. We have all these things, and God doesn't classify sin. God says, I don't care how broken you are. All I want to know is, do you want to give me your life? Mm-hmm. In all of its brokenness, in all of its mess, will you let me use you? You don't worry about the mess. You take it all to God. You bring it all to Him and allow Him to do something in you that you'll never, ever be able to do in yourself.
So are you saying that... So I think this is what you're saying. That is there anybody that's disqualified?
No one. No one. The only way you could ever disqualify yourself is to completely reject Him and say, I don't want God. I don't want anything to do with Him. That's the only thing that disqualifies you. And if you look at all of the people in the Bible, and not a single one would be a life that you would look at and say, wow, they were pretty amazing. Every single person that God used in the Bible was a total mess. The 12 disciples, all the way through the Old Testament, they were all broken, messed up people that said, you know what? It may not be much, but everything that I am, I'm giving it to Jesus. And then He was able to use them in powerful ways.
You know, that is so good. But as you were saying that just now, do you know the story? And I know people have probably heard the story, but would you be willing to share the story about when you were saved? And you actually said a phrase that made me think about when you were saved, what you said to God. So would you share that?
Well, that's what. Whenever I was 14 years old, I went to a summer camp with my youth pastor. I was on crutches. I couldn't do a lot of things on my own. God's brought healing to my life. I'm much better now. But then I just felt like I was a burden to everyone. I was a burden to my family. I was a burden to the people that love me. I was a burden to my church. And I remember when the guy that spoke at the camp, he was a football star. He was a collegiate football star. He had all the muscles. He was an incredible athlete, and he said, I always got to pick the teams because I was always the best athlete on the field. But there's some people in here that never gets picked, and that was me. No one ever wanted me on their team. I was on crutches. I had major disability. And he said, I want you to know God picked you to be on His team.
That's
and when he said that, it grabbed my heart. And I said, well, if God picks me, I'm picking him. And so Frank Gordo, my youth pastor at the time, helped me to the front of the room. And my prayer was, God, I don't know why you would ever pick me. I feel like nothing. I feel like nothing but a burden. But if you can use nothing, I'll do whatever you want for the rest of my life. And from that moment on, he's always showed up. He brought healing to my body. He brought me a family. He put me in the ministry. And from that moment on, because I said yes to Jesus, he's done all that he's done. And it's all him, none of me. And that's all you have to do. Wherever you are, how messed up you may be, all you have to do is say yes and then keep saying yes. If you do that, he'll take you where you never thought you could go.
You know, Pastor, as you're talking and telling that story, I just really think that we have some listeners out there that they want to be on God's team. They haven't been on a team.
Yeah.
And so they are where you're at. And so would you just pray for those people, those listeners out there? God loves them. God wants them. But would you just minister to them for just a moment? Those listeners that I just feel like there's somebody out there that's felt that way or is feeling that way.
You bet. Lord, I pray for all those folks that are listening right now to this program. Lord, they may be driving down the road and just happened to turn this station on. It was no accident. Maybe you're in a store right now and you're listening to this and it just caught your ear. But I'm going to tell you, God is saying to you, I want you.
Mm-hmm.
I pick you. I choose you. And Lord, I pray that as they hear those words, that they would hear them as words of God, and that they would run to God, and they would choose God, and they would allow Him, no matter how broken they think their life is, no matter how many things are missing from their life, I pray, Lord, that they would just pray that same prayer. There's somebody out there that just feels like they're worthless and nothing. You're not. You are worth something. You're worth the blood of Jesus. And if you'll take your life and if you'll put it into His hands, He'll use you. And Lord, just speak that message to their heart. Speak that message to who they are, that the past doesn't matter. All that matters is right now, in this moment, do you choose Jesus? And if right now you're choosing Jesus and that's happening in your heart, just say, Lord, I need you in my life. I invite you to be my Lord and Savior. And from this day forward, I'm going to say yes to you. If you pray that prayer, He's going to hear you and He's going to do amazing things for your life. Lord, thank you for those listeners that are hearing this message right now, and continue to draw them toward you and give them the strength to give their life to you, no matter what shape they think they're in. Help them to know all they have to do is say yes to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Amen. So we've got these people. We've got these people that are deciding they're going to say yes. They've heard this prayer.
Yeah.
Yes, God, I want to be an instrument to you. I want it, whatever I have, I give it to you. I say yes to you. So now, what is their next step?
Well, if you pray that prayer, what I'd like for you to do is go to our website, cornerstonewheeler.com. Right at the very top of the page, the second tab, you'll see it's about us, and then the next tab it says prayer. You can click on that prayer link, and you can send us a message. If you don't want to go to that website, cornerstonewheeler.com, you can go to our Facebook page. It's Cornerstone Wheeler. Right under our name is send a message. You can send a message to us. Tell us you were listening on Sunday Night Live with Natalie Thomas and you prayed that prayer, and we'll give some material to you. We'll personally give you a phone call and check in with you. But God wants to use you. God's got an amazing plan for your life. So please follow through with that. Reach out to us. Get in connection with us either through the website, cornerstonewheeler.com, or our Facebook page at Cornerstone Wheeler.
Yes, yes, because we want to be there. We want to encourage you. We want to help you. Because the fact of the matter is, the Bible says it's not that we're not going to have trials and tribulations or troubles.
Yeah.
But it's when.
It's true.
And so it's time to get ready, prepare ourselves to grow in the Word so that kind of like the what we talked about earlier in your office is you got to build the dam before the flood comes.
Right. That's right. That's right, because the flood's coming. I mean, the flood's coming.
It's coming.
And we got to be ready for it. And that's what God's calling us to do. It's what's calling you to do. And so we hope you'll follow through on that.
And the truth is we need you.
We need you. That's right.
And so don't discount yourself because you see, oh, well, he's a good speaker. She can do this. Don't discount yourself because we need you in the body of Christ doing what only you can do.
That's right.
You've got a gift. You have talents. You have abilities. And God specifically gave that to you to be able to reach people. You know, Scripture says that the giftings and the calling of God are irrevocable. They're without repentance. The truth is those gifts and talents and abilities is for you to use. And when you allow God to use them, that's when people get saved, healed, delivered, set free, because you were willing to do what God created you to do.
That's right. And you know, our listeners are from all over different areas. Mm-hmm. And so if you do not have a church home and you're not in this area, include that in your email to Cornerstone. We will get you in touch with some churches that are in your area.
Absolutely.
That you can go and serve and be a part of and to grow in the Word and grow in what God has called you to do.
100%. We'll help you any way we can. So please follow through and reach out to us. We'd love to hear from you.
Yes, yes, we would. Well, any more exciting things going on in Cornerstone coming up?
Well, we've got the last day's conference, and then right after our last day's conference, we're going into a small group study that's going to go for 5 weeks. It's based on a book. It's called The Relentless Elimination of Hurry. And it goes back to the book of Acts. It goes back to the life of Jesus, and it teaches us how to create that margin in our lives so that we have room for Jesus to use us. We have room for Jesus to minister to us. And it keeps us on what's important and what matters and what's going to last for eternity. So that'd be a great study to jump in on and be a part of. It's going to start after we get done with these 4 weeks, which will be October the 12th or whatever that Wednesday night is. It's after the last day's conference. But we're just going to follow that vein all the way up until Thanksgiving. We're going to be talking about, let's make what's important important, and let those things that are overwhelming us and stressing us and worrying us, let's let those things fall off. And so that whole small group study is going to be about that. And our leaders, we're going to get with our leaders, and we're going to have some practical tips that's going to help you decide what matters, what doesn't matter, and what can I do in my life that's going to give us the opportunity to connect with Jesus more and for Jesus to use me for his glory and ministry in these last days.
And you know, that's good, and we want people to come. And so, you know, a lot of times people have the mentality, oh, I don't go to church there, that's just for them.
Yeah.
But would
anybody.
You say this is open to anybody, even
absolutely.
If they have church
absolutely.
Somewhere else?
You can absolutely come. Anything, you know what, I have another church, but I want to be a part of that study. We'll get you all the materials so that you can go along and you can follow along online and go right through the study with us, even if you don't go to our church, because it's not about our church. We're not about Cornerstone. We're about Jesus. And you can be a part of it. If you can't come in person because you're going to your own church, reach out to us and we'll get you everything you need to go through that study.
And not only that, if you come on Cornerstone at 5:30, they feed you.
Yeah, that's
people.
That's right. There's food.
We don't have to cook.
Yes. That's right.
So, and it's good food.
It is.
It's good food. It's good food. So, yeah, we want all of you to come that can come. You know, one of the things I think of after we've been talking about this is a message I heard recently. You know, because a lot of times in the world, when Christians do the things that we feel like we should do, the world looks at us differently.
Yeah.
And the message that I actually heard was Jeremy Pearson, and he said, we should look different.
Yeah.
And I think about that scripture that says that we are not of this world. We're just in this world.
That's right.
And so I think about that, and I feel like that's something that God has really been putting on my heart, that we as Christians, we look different.
Yeah. I think that's so right. And that verse you said, we're in the world, not of the world, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, says, do not be conformed or let the world squeeze you into its mold. Don't conform to the patterns and plans of this world. See, that's what we all do that because this is the world's all we've ever known. So we've got to build a bank account. We've got to build a 401k and we've got to save for retirement. All that's good and important. We need to do that. The Bible says that the righteous leave an inheritance for his children's children. So there's nothing wrong with all that. But are we doing things the way the world does things, and are we forgetting the eternal things? And one of the things that I do, I know that you and James do this, is every morning I have my quiet time, my prayer time, and one of the things that I spend time doing is I do confessions. And some people call it meditations. That's what the Bible says, Joshua chapter 1, verse 8. Do not let the book of the law depart from your mouth, but meditate therein, the scriptures, day and night. And if you do that, if you observe to do that, then your way will be made prosperous. Things will begin to work out. So it's about setting your mind right when you get started in the day, because that's where the battle is. The devil doesn't come up to us and manifest himself to us and say, "Hey, I'm the devil, go rob a bank." He gets into our mind and he makes us think, you're not going to have enough. You're not going to make it into retirement. Your kids aren't going to have anything. And we think we have to work harder and try more and get more and save more and try this and do this. And that's what the world does. Just like Jesus said, you've quoted it several times during this program, seek first the kingdom of God. Don't worry about what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, all those other things. Seek first God's kingdom, and all the other stuff you're worried about will be added to you automatically. God will take care of that. So we have to reset our mind to eternal things and biblical things and how God does things. And so many times I have a list on my iPad that I just go through confessions about my kids, about my marriage, about my finances, about my physical health. And I'm doing that not to get God to do something for me. I'm doing that so that my mind is set in agreement with God's Word. And all of life, all the success for life, setting your mind on eternal things, making way for God to use you, creating margin, rest and relaxation and revitalization, all of these things come first from setting our mind in agreement with God. Because many times we're at odds with God. God says we're more than conquerors. We think we're being overwhelmed by life. No,
yeah.
You are what God says you are. And we have to take that time each day to reset our minds in agreement with what God says.
Yes, you know, and that makes me think about, a lot of people think it's a name it, claim it kind of thing. Speak it and you'll get it.
Yeah.
Although, you know, there's power.
There's some truth to it, yeah.
Yeah, there's some truth to that. But when we declare God's word, or when we confess, we call them confessions, or when we meditate on those words, just like what you're saying, there's a shift.
That's it.
There's a thing that changes. And I can't tell you how many times that I have sat down and decided to go ahead and declare God's word, and immediately my whole demeanor begins to change.
Sure.
I wake up, because, you know, especially in the morning, you're tired,
you
know, and you wake up and it's like these things are just falling off of you and you become lighter.
You do. And once again, I think we quoted it, my burden is easy and light. So if you're carrying burdens that are hard and burdensome and weighing you down, that's not God. His burden is easy and light. There are sacrifices that we have to make. We do have to persevere through hard things, but when we're walking with Jesus, doing all that is easy and light. And if my life starts getting heavy, then that means I need to change my mind. I need to change what I'm focusing on. I'm focusing on all these problems, all these worries, all these issues, and I need to refocus on God. Because God says, hey, I'll take care of all that. All you need to do is seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. A lot of times in the Christian world, we think we got to be righteous. I got to work hard. I got to read my Bible. I got to pray. I got to tithe. I got to give. I got to go to church. I got to worship. I got to witness. And we got to do all this stuff, and we put ourselves under this heavy law burden. Okay, but Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. So we say, one of the confessions that I make, the meditations that I do a lot, Lord, I seek Your righteousness. I turn my attention on Your righteousness, on Your obedience, because my righteousness is worthless. Sometimes I disobey, I mess up, because I don't have the willpower to do it. I don't have the strength to do it, but I turn my attention on His righteousness. I can begin to meditate on the cross and on the resurrection and all that God did, and all of a sudden He lifts those burdens, because now I realize it's not about me anyway. It's not my ability. It's not what I can do. It's not the weight that I can carry on myself. It's about Him. And if I'm carrying it, then I got to reshift. I got to renew my mind. I got to remember that I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Because I'm never going to be a good enough husband. I'm never going to be a good enough dad. I'm never going to be a good enough pastor. But if I can seek Him and I can seek His righteousness, then all that other stuff is just going to be added. And He's just going to do it automatically through grace and through glory and through His anointing. And I don't have to do it myself. And that's what's freeing. If we can get our mindset that it's Him. It's what He did. It's what He accomplished. And I get to be a part of that. I get to be a partaker of that. And then that all of a sudden becomes strength to me. Because, hey, guess what? I don't have to do it myself. I was being funny on Sunday. Whenever Sonny and I are going to take this trip, and one of the stops in this trip was someplace in Turkey, Cyprus or wherever it was. And I've always said, I don't want to go there. I wouldn't go there without James Thomas, because James, he's a big guy, he's an intimidating guy, and I'm like, I'd go anywhere, James Thomas, because nobody's going to mess with me, right?
Right.
And so if we can see that, you got the God of the universe. Nobody's going to mess with you if you're with Him. Nobody, there's not going to be any attack that you can't withstand if you're with Him, because He is God of the universe. And He says, if you'll seek Me, I'll add all this stuff you're worried about, I'll just add it to you. I'll just give it to you. Don't worry about the same things that the world worries about. set your attention, set your mind, set your heart on me and what I've done for you, and let me take care of all those needs you're worried about. And that's what gives us freedom.
That is so good. And it all goes back to that rest.
That's rest.
You're that's resting the in. resting in God.
That's right. It's Him. It's His ability. It's His grace. It's His strength. Not mine. I don't have it. I don't have it. That's why Jesus had to come.
That's right. That's right. That's so encouraging, because look, people, we don't have to do it.
We don't have to do it.
God said He's going to do it for us.
Yeah.
The Bible says that He gives us everything we need for life and for godliness.
That's it.
Everything we need. And that all goes back to seek Him and all these things. And we're talking about like all these things. Well, all of those things includes rest.
That's it. That's it.
Clear mind.
That's right.
Energy. Yeah. The joy of the Lord is our strength.
Yeah. And just walking, you just imagine walking in peace and not having to worry. That's how God wants you to live.
Even though things are going on around us, because they're going to happen.
And you think, well, what's that look like? When you're not sure what that looks like, look at Jesus. Okay, He's with these experienced fishermen. They've been on the sea their whole life. The storm's coming. They all think they're going to die. Jesus is asleep at the bottom of the boat on a pillow.
Yeah.
What do I need to do whenever things are bearing down on me? Maybe take a nap. Maybe just rest. Maybe just give it all to God and take a nap on a Sunday afternoon instead of worry about how long the grass is or how that's going on. Maybe just take a break, right? Because that's what Jesus did. And He is the example. When you don't know what to do, what would Jesus do? We all seen that bracelet. Look at His life. How did He handle things? How did He handle stress? How did He handle the worries? How did He handle those things when all the disciples were stressed out? Look at those stories in the Bible. When all the disciples were worried and concerned and stressed out, what are we going to do? What's going to happen? What was Jesus doing in the midst of that moment? That's our example. That's how He wants us to live. And we can only do it through His ability. And that's why we have to connect with Him. We have to create that space so that we can rest and connect with Him. And I think that is really where God is. He's speaking to the church. He's speaking to His people. That we've got to determine what matters, what doesn't matter, and put our time, our effort, our ability, our anointings into that thing. And any time that it's taking life from you and it's hurting you and it's causing issue and you're feeling weighed down and heavy by it, just check it out, because it's probably not God.
That's right.
It's probably not God.
And it's turning, in this process, it's turning religion to relationship. It's just about having a relationship with God.
That's right.
It's just like going to Him and talking to Him. When we say seek Him, we're saying just go to Him and have a relationship with Him.
That's right.
That's it. Simple.
It is very easy. And whatever He asks you to do, just say yes to it. Just like Sonia was saying before, I didn't have any desire to be pastor, but He knew I did. I love this. I love everything that I do. I love getting up in the morning and going through all the things that I would do. But if He left it to me, I'd miss the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
But all you have to do is say yes to Him, and He'll create this life that you never would have ever thought possible just by simply saying, no matter what happens, I'm staying with Jesus, and whatever He asks me to do, I'm going to say yes to it.
That's right. That's right. Well, thank you so much for being on the program.
Oh,
you
too
have really blessed me. I just love being under your leadership. You guys are such an encouragement to me. Just getting to see you from the beginning to where we are now. And I know God has really worked in your ministry and in Cornerstone Church. And what a blessing you are to our community.
Well, it's our honor and privilege, and it would never happen without folks like you guys and so many others. It's all Him and none of us. And appreciate the opportunity
yes,
to be on.
That's right. That's right. It's all Him, definitely, for mm-hmm. sure. Well, we want to thank you guys so much for tuning in. We want to remind you that we do have our website. It's sundaynightlive.org. And actually, on our website, there is a link to Cornerstone Church on there if you want to go in there and click on that to find that information from Aaron and Sonia. And also, my email is on there as well. So if you'd like to email me and let us know that this has been a blessing to you, please go in there and send me a message. Also, we have past shows on there, archived on there.
Absolutely.
Now.
Yeah, go back and listen. Yeah. They're always great.
So you missed it, go back and check it out. And so, but we just want to leave you with this tonight. Thank you for tuning in, but we want you to know that God loves you. He has called you, and all you have to do is just say yes. And so, thank you guys so much for tuning in, and we will see you next week. God is on the move.